see having those cases raised to their levels. And so if a redistricting case rises to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, there is a chance that we could overturn the redistricting maps we currently have before 2031, 2032, basically, as far as by the time we get the census, the 2030 census information back, do the redistricting process, and have the new maps. Which could solve so many things as far as actually having a representative government in Madison.
And I think, Kristen, that that is really the biggest thing. If Wisconsinites are satisfied with representatives who don't have to respond to what they want, like medical marijuana, like universal background checks, like red flag laws, like a woman's right to choose, if you are perfectly fine with your representatives getting paid handsomely for a part-time job, yet they never have to respond to your phone calls, your emails, your text messages, they can just do with it whatever they want, and they have been because they know better than you. If you want more of that, then vote accordingly.
Yeah. And that really is, for me, what I know there's other, you know, this is also, if you think back to 2020, it was the Wisconsin Supreme Court that decided the outcome of the election.
Yes.
And
if it had not been for Brian Hagedorn,
things could have been different. And there is a chance that we're still going to be a swing state. 2024 is still going to be as much of a battle for the president, no matter who the Republican candidate ends up being. I guess technically, no matter who the Democratic candidate ends up being,
right?
Whether it's Joe Biden, I think it's going to be Joe Biden. But that this, whoever wins that seat, likely will once again be the deciding vote on that.
Yep.
And so there are tons of cases that matter. But as far as me, what I consider, like, oh, Wisconsin could fundamentally change from where we've been for the last 12 years sooner than 10 years from now, basically. And that to me is worth a lot.
Again, think about representative government, which we're supposed to have. And yet, if you're an elected official in a severely gerrymandered district, you don't really have to care about your constituents. You can do what you know is better for them because you know better.
And that goes both ways, right? I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I had someone comment on, I love when I get this comment, and this is probably the video I'm going to make when I get home today. Well, you know, Democrats basically just gerrymander themselves into Milwaukee and Dane County. And if you look at the numbers from the November election and the 1.3 million and some change people across the state who voted for Governor Evers, around 230 some thousand were in Dane County. I think another like 250 some thousand were in Milwaukee County.
Oh, that leaves many hundreds of thousands of people.
Over 800,000 that live in the other 70 counties in Wisconsin.
Huh.
And so there is indeed, I know sometimes it probably doesn't feel like it, but there are indeed Democrats who vote for Democratic statewide candidates across the state, and if they don't all just live in Madison and Milwaukee, and they also deserve to have representative government, both in their congressmen and in Madison. So
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think not everyone would agree with you.
No, the guy who left that comment doesn't agree with me. And this is literally how I'm going to start the video. It's like, do you like math? Let's do some math.
Let's math.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about child labor laws and why we have them. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Got no problem with saying goodbye. Is it wrong that I'm going to be having the time of my life? Because deep down I know I should cry.
Got no problem with saying goodbye. Is it wrong that I'm gonna be having the time of my life? 'Cause deep down I know I should cry, I should scream and get
fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. An arrest in a stunning shooting death of a Los Angeles Catholic bishop this weekend, Auxiliary Bishop David O'Connell. They've arrested Carlos Medina. The LA County Sheriff, Robert Luna, says
detectives recovered two firearms and other evidence possibly linking Medina to the crime.
President Biden is overnighting in Warsaw ahead of meetings with NATO leaders Tuesday. After an unannounced visit to Ukraine's capital, Russian President Putin will address his nation tomorrow. Here's ABC's Patrick Reeval in Ukraine.
I think the belief is that it will likely be a very hawkish speech. It will likely be an attempt to rally Russians for a long war, which is what all signs point to try and encourage Russians to really lean into this war and join up and join those mobilization efforts that the Kremlin is also pushing.
14 people hurt, one in critical condition, after an explosion at a brass and bronze factory in Oakwood Village near Cleveland, Ohio. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Ah, signs winter may be ending in Wisconsin. The snow is melting, Robin's returning, and Milwaukee Brewers spring training games are underway.
Wow, what a finish to this one!
Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 FM and WISS 1100 AM is your place to catch every inning, every game, and every win.
Listen on your local Civic Media radio station, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM and 98.3 FM.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh! Be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car, and there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years. Until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We welcome you to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And thank you for wherever you are listening this morning. Well, sometimes we always love it when Wisconsin in the wild is on something that's good.
Yes. Something to celebrate.
Something to celebrate. Something that's fun. Like, Giannis being the captain of the All-Star game,
right,
which we are going to talk about in the next segment. We don't like it when Wisconsin makes the news for breaking child labor laws.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
This is not good. So we've been running this on the newscast, but in case you've missed it, a Wisconsin-based food sanitation company was forced to pay $1.5 million in financial penalties for illegally employing more than 100 children across 8 different states. So at least 100, and this is only the ones they could prove.
Right. So who knows how many others?
Yes. At least 102 minors between the ages of 13 and 17 worked for this is in Grant County. This is where the company is headquartered, mm-hmm. but they have operations across 8 states, mostly in the Midwest, I think, with a couple in the South. Packers Sanitation Services, Inc., so PSSI is for short, and it's one of the country's biggest food safety sanitation companies. So they do a lot of sanitation for other big meatpacking companies.
Right.
So this was an investigation from the U.S. Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division, and this broke on Friday, and a department, there was a media briefing, and people from the Department of Labor said that the children were working overnight shifts, using hazardous chemicals to clean saws and other high-risk equipment at 13 different meat processing facilities in 8 different states. At least 3 were injured while they were working, including a 13-year-old who suffered from chemical burns.
Oh, my. Now, for people who have never worked third shift, and I have worked third shift.
I have not worked third shift, so I will default to you.
It's at least my shift was 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
And, well, we'll get into more of the details. But this is when I was reading further about this, this is far from the only company that is violating child labor laws. Since 2018, the Department of Labor has seen a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally.
50%.
50%. So a spokesperson from the Department of Labor, Jessica Luman, said that those violations can vary from children working more hours than allowed under law, using specific types of prohibited equipment, or working in industries that they shouldn't be. And, you know, I feel like this brings up, because was it just last year or was it 2 years ago that the Wisconsin State Legislature was trying to change the amount of hours that teenagers could work?
That's recent.
I think it was either the end of 2021. I think it was early 2022, because I remember it happening before we started this show. You know, and in some ways, I understand the argument. I understand the argument of, you know, a character building job as a teenager. And I understand the argument of the labor shortage and encouraging more people to try to work to fill some of these roles. But these are very different than like working at Cold Stone.
Cold Stone Creamery.
Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, of, you know, my friends in high school in Madison, like, most of them either worked at Quiznos Subs after school, or I think there was a lot of them that worked at Bagels Forever, which also leads to another thing, because the grade that was 2 years ahead of us, their senior prank was that they bageled the front lawn of the school because there were so many kids who... worked at Bagels Forever, they throw out the bagels every day. So they were collecting garbage bags of bagels until the senior prank, and they bageled the front lawn. Anyways, that's a...
And by the way, that was from 2021.
It was 2021.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, so like those are normal after-school jobs.
I worked at A&W, yeah, when I was 15.
And if you want to argue that those are the types of jobs, and if people under 18 have the ability to work more than 20 hours a week and go to school, fine. They should have the freedom to do that. working the third shift as a 13-year-old and the exploitation that comes with that, because what kind of living situation are these children under that this is their option? That their only option to help their families is probably not go to school.
Yes. And to work.
And work a dangerous job overnight. And we're just, I mean, we're clearly not okay with that. They just had to pay a fine. But I also couldn't help but think a week ago when we were talking to John Russell and we're talking about Norfolk and the other train companies. And then in the same conversation, we were talking the same day, we had the conversation with Carrie Spivak and Daphne Chen about the landlords and these companies that they just bake this into their budget, that it is probably worth it to them to continue to try to get away with hiring children and just pay the fine once they get caught than to follow the law and not hire children to work third shift dangerous jobs.
We have Alan from Milwaukee on the line at 844-967-2789. What do you want to say, sir?
No, I had a couple of things to say about your discussion. First of all, it's against the law, the children, child labor laws from way back in the 1950s changed all of that to where they could not hire children. And if they did, after they have permission from the parents, they had to be 14 or older and they couldn't work more than 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's the law.
No, that is the law. And that's why they have a fine. But my point is, in the same way that we're talking about Norfolk and all these other industries where they just, these companies basically can bake into their budget to pay the fine, but continue to break the law.
But the deal is, are these children going to school? If they're not in school, that's against the law.
I saw less about reports about who the kids are. I'm sure there's probably limitations on how much reporting they can do because they're minors.
Sure.
But I would imagine that probably not. They're probably not going to school.
Third shift. Hello?
Yes. We're still here.
You said they were working third shift?
Some of them, yeah. They were working overnight.
Well, they're not in school.
Yeah.
Or, it's against the law for them to not be in school until they're 18 years of age or until they graduate or unless they're emancipated at age 16 from their parents, where their parents are no longer responsible for them.
But we don't know.
There's a whole lot of laws that are from what you're saying, are being broken.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know that the laws are being broken. But I'm saying the consequences for this company right now is a fine instead of anything more serious than that. And seemingly, it's not really that much of a slap on the wrist.
Well, again, they pay a fine. Thank you for calling, Al. By the way, 844-967-2789 if you want to check in with us on As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah, it's wrong. It's illegal. And we also don't know if the kids worked until 6 o'clock in the morning and then went right to school.
No.
We don't.
And I mean, it opens up the presumption of the demographics of who these kids presumably are. I wouldn't be surprised if there was more reporting that's done on this to find out a lot of them are undocumented, that their parents are also undocumented,
right,
and it's just trying to scrape by, that they're just trying to get money. And it's just another situation where it's an easily exploitable population. And in the face of this one example, which is a Wisconsin company, but also, as I said, the fact that since 2018, there's been a 50% increase in child labor violations nationally, maybe the ramifications for breaking those laws should be a little more aggressive. Maybe they should deter companies a little bit more than they are if there's this increase. And the fact of the matter is, well, we'll just pay the fine. It's fine.
Well, and that's really disturbing.
Right?
That they bake in these fines with the assumption that eventually they are going to get busted. So they pay the fine and they keep doing it anyway.
Because as we said, this is only the ones that they know of.
Right.
And
well, and we're not going to solve the labor shortage by turning to 13 and 14 year olds. Right?
No. And so I would love to hear from someone who, because I know that there are conservatives who complain that child labor laws in Wisconsin or nationally are too strict. And, you know, they want 16-year-olds to be able to work more than 20 hours a week. You know, and they want, you know, this just this idea of having that
freedom.
Yeah, I guess. And it, truthfully, it's like the freedom to work, right? And it is on the other side. If you are a young person who is entrepreneurial and you want to work that much, I understand the argument of that you should be able to. But it's also the fact that what jobs are we talking about? What shifts are we talking about? And as Alan said on the phone, legally they're supposed to be in school. So if they're skipping school to be able to put food on the table for their families, we have a bigger problem here as far as who we're allowing to just live in poverty, which, speaking of that, at 12:30 today, Sherry Tesler, who's the executive director of Hunger Task Force, is going to join us because on March 1st, so that's next Wednesday, the extended extra food share benefits that was going to around 400,000 Wisconsin families.
Wow.
I mean, it was a national program. This is a federal program that during the pandemic, they had extra money coming in every month. They voted in December for that to end March 1st. And between increased food insecurity and inflation and rising costs of of utilities, of rents, of all these other things, food banks across the state are very worried about how they're going to keep up with demand because this is basically the worst time that this could be happening. And so Sherry's going to join us to talk more about what she sees coming down the pipe with this in the work that Hunger Task Force does, because 400,000 families in Wisconsin suffer from food insecurity.
And a lot of these are children and senior citizens.
Yes. And so it just goes back to, like, what are we okay? Like, what conditions are we okay people living in? Because these kids only take these jobs out of necessity. It's not like they're like, yes, let me go work in a sand. This is going to teach me job skills, transferable job skills for me to get into college. Let's go clean some saws with chemicals that can burn me. Like, this is obviously out of necessity of these are the jobs that we can get.
Yep.
And we need to get because our family needs it.
And there are apparently companies who will turn the other way when someone comes in and makes an application and they look like they're 13.
Because there's no way you can tell me. It's one thing with a 17-year-old, like 60. Although I will say, I've seen 16 and 17-year-old boys now, and I'm like, are you 12?
I know.
Like, they don't look like they're about to be adults.
Right.
But certainly, 13-year-olds, especially 13-year-old boys, are not fooling anyone that they're above age. Unless he's huge. But that's far in between. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Talking about the Bucks when we come back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Earl Ingram.
They can't tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. Wednesday and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. Wednesday. 21 overnight under cloudy skies, west winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. High of 29 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 36.
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
Me and Cage were Lakers for life, but there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, he's incredible. Follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, 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 1, 2, 3. Antetokounmpo, 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 MVP. Antetokounmpo, 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 yes, it's true. Antetokounmpo, 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 we love you!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Do you think he listens to that? Do you think I like as he has his big Beats earphones on, Giannis maybe just has this on his like playlist to pump himself up, just like listening to his own.
I'd love to know what his motivational playlist is. I think that would be fascinating.
For a lot of them. Yeah. I wonder how I would assume that it's a lot of rap and like something with a strong beat. But I would love to know who has the most unique pump-up playlist.
There's got to be a show tunes fan in there somewhere. Come on.
Yeah. Or who listens to, like, classical music just to zen out?
Little as Mozart.
And the different, what works for which athlete.
Yeah.
I would listen to that song every day, though. That was, like, someone had made a fun... My last name is
Kristen Bry.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as fun as
we love her. It's Kristen Bry. Kristen Bry.
Well, last night was the All-Star game, and Team Giannis won. And so I guess they had some fun. I think it was different than it had been in the past, where him and LeBron took turns, because LeBron was the other team captain, and they took turns picking. They had the starters set, if I'm understanding it correctly, but then they took turns like picking the rest of the team. And so Giannis, who has a injured wrist right now, I know they're going to get that checked out. But he was out there with his notebook and looking very official. He had planned a lot. I guess he had this whole strategy with Drew Holiday because he ended up not picking Drew first and he threw LeBron off, and it was a big, it was very fun.
Psychological games.
Yes, exactly. And so, but then they pulled it out. It was so funny because we didn't end up watching the All-Star game. We watched The Last of Us because it's appointment.
You're into it.
Appointment viewing. But we checked, and at halftime, the score was like 98-92. So it was just like, no one's playing defense.
Rack them up. Let them score.
But more exciting news, I think, because, you know, the All-Star game's just not a lot of consequence, really, for the season, but it's fun. There's lots of parties. Mm-hmm. It's a big, you know, both the all-stars of the NBA, but also a lot of celebrities, a lot of parties, a lot of hullabaloo in whatever host city has it. And maybe could be coming to Milwaukee in 2025 or 2026.
The All-Star Game.
The All-Star Game. So over the weekend, I think it was on Saturday, it was reported that the Bucks will submit a bid to host the NBA All-Star Game in either 2025 or 2026. And I think that makes sense. If you think about the infrastructure that had been started for the 2020 DNC that did not happen, the infrastructure that is continuing for the 2024 RNC that I think I'm assuming is going to happen.
As far as
I don't think we're going to get another global pandemic between now and then.
Let's hope not.
But, you know, the Wisconsin Convention Center is going to be done. The hotel that's next to the Fiserv looks like it's almost done. And so, you know, ideally having the setup that we could host an NBA All-Star weekend. And it's basically, arguably, if we were to do that, even a bigger economic impact than the expectations of the RNC.
Seriously.
So on Saturday evening, because this one was in Salt Lake City, which obviously they have the infrastructure. They've had the Olympics, right? Like, and I don't know we look up the population of Salt Lake City, because I don't know how much bigger or similarly sized population wise it is to Milwaukee. But on Saturday evening,
200,478.
So it's like half the size of Milwaukee. But they've built
that infrastructure
there to be able to host a lot of people. Because listen to this. This is the stats from this weekend. So NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, in his opening remarks at a press conference, said, quote, "In terms of the magnitude of All-Star, this is our largest in our history. They're estimating the economic impact here in Salt Lake City will be roughly $280 million.
Wow.
For a weekend.
Up for 3 days.
For 3 days. That's an all-time record. We have an all-time record in terms of hotel nights. We're occupying 33,000 hotels or hotel nights in the community here, and we have more fan events than any time in history." And so I'm pretty sure that the estimates for the RNC, which even those have been squishy.
Well, they're guesstimates.
They're guesstimates. And it's also who's it economically impacting and everything. But so I don't know. There's probably the same argument that number is squishy for how many people actually end up seeing that trickles down to for the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that the estimates that were used by Visit Milwaukee and for the people who were really trying to sell this to the people of Milwaukee of why we should want the RNC to come was $200 billion. And so if this is serious, $280 million for a weekend, then I'm just going to say it, call me biased, it's probably way more fun than the RNC. There's way more parties I want to go to for an All-Star weekend, an NBA All-Star weekend in Milwaukee than RNC parties I'll go to.
I don't know. I think there's a whole bunch of Republicans I would like to have drinks with.
Well, we already know that maybe not Robin Voss.
That just puts him higher on my list, Kristen.
I'm so curious to flash forward a year from now and if civic media and our show, if there's anything that we could potentially get invited to as press. Because it's just like, you know, obviously you guys lean left, but this is a big deal. And see if there's any doors or part that get opened or parties we get into to just be witness to the RNC.
I would think they would love having, you know, the opposition there so they can keep us all in a pen and direct all the rage of the attendees towards us. That just seems like a given. So,
yeah. So anyways, I'm in favor of this. I think it would be very fun. I would go to many parties if invited.
To the All-Star game.
The All-Star game. The NBA All-Star game, if we were to get that in a couple years. Because the last time Milwaukee hosted an All-Star game was 1977.
Oh, my.
And I have to imagine it looked a little different.
Just even the length of the shorts.
That was a lot shorter. A lot
How
shorter.
Much,
a lot of legs.
There was a lot
the
of legs.
The 1970s basketball had a lot of legs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that does it for the 11 o'clock hour. When we come back, Representative Christina Shelton is back because her and Representative, well, we'll talk about it. She's going to be here next. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Auntie Tecumpo, Auntie Tecumpo, Auntie Tecumpo, 1, 2, 3, Auntie Tecumpo.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot,
good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.